Good morning. Today's daf and erev in Sadi Beis. We're on Sadi Aleph Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And we're going to now go into day four. Day four discussing the first Mishnah of the ninth parak of Erevin. And that is the ability to carry from one chatzir to another, the ability to carry from a gag to a chatzir, from a karpuf to a chatzir, from a karpuf to a gag, and you get the idea. The first Mishnah brought down three shitas, and so since daf peites, so that would be peites, sadi, and sadi aleph, and now a little bit of sadi beis as well, about a half of sadi beis. So we're discussing the three shitas that we saw together in the Mishnah. Let's review quickly the three shitas and review the topic of discussion that we've been having now for the good part of sadi aleph, and then we're going to be able to continue and go on in the Gemara. In the Mishnah back on peites, so there were three shitas in terms of the ability to carry from gag to gag, from gag to chaser. First, the shita of Rav Meir. Rav Meir, in the Mishnah, says that you can carry from gag to gag, even if they're owned by different people, as long as they are on one horizontal plane and there is no dramatic elevation, change in elevation. So you can carry from one gag to another gag. That is Shitas Rav Meir. Rashi points out that what is behind Shitas Rav Meir is the idea that the usages on the top of the rooftops are not as common, not as frequent as that within the home. And so therefore, they are not Rishiyos Chalukos, they're not divided Rishiyos. The Gemara, which we saw yesterday, noted that according to the Shita of Rav Meir, the Gagim Rishus La'atzman, and Chatzers Rishus La'atzman, and Karfifos Rishus La'atzman. The way Rav Meir views these three different types of Rishiyos, and I should have defined in the beginning, even though this is now already day four, but the Gagos obviously are the rooftops that are over the house, the Chatzeros are the courtyards that are in front of the house, and the Karfifos are these back lots that are in the back of the house, right? A backyard, if you will. Everything obviously enclosed because we're talking about each one of them being a Rishus Yachid. So the Gemara pointed out, and on the bottom of Sadi Amud Beis, on the top of Sadi, to the top of Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph, otherwise stated yesterday's Daf, that the way Rav Meir views it is that each one of them is its own distinct category. You can carry from Gag to Gag, you can carry from Chatzir to Chatzir, and you can carry from Karpuf to Karpuf. That is Shitas Rebbe Meir. Second sheet of the Mishnah is the Chachamim, and that is that you cannot carry from Gag to Gag. Each Gag is Rishus Bifnei Atzmo. Each Gag is its own independent Rishus. That sheet of the Chachamim is predicated on the idea that just like their De Yurin Lamata, so too their De Yurin Lamala. And so therefore you cannot carry from Gag to Gag. Again, going back to yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara pointed out that according to the Chachamim, so you can carry from one gag to another, but you are allowed to carry from gag to chatzer. Gag to chatzer are considered categorically the same thing. The only reason why you can't carry from gag to gag is because they are separate rishuyos, they're owned by different people. But going from gag to chatzer, according to the Chachamim, would be okay. That is what we learned in the Gemara yesterday. And then finally, the third shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said that gagos, chatzeros, karfifos are rishus achas. They're all going to fall under one category. They're all not the primary residence. They're all not the house. And as a result of that, there'd be no problem whatsoever carrying from chatzer to gag, from gag to karpuf, come from karpuf to chatzer, whatever permutation, one would be allowed to carry from one to the other. That is Shitas Rebbe Shimon. Tosos in the beginning of this parak said that that's the halacha. Halacha falls like Rebbe Shimon, and it does represent the most lenient of the three positions. In yesterday's daf, so we had a discussion amongst the Amoraim in terms of the scope of Rabbi Shimon. Under what circumstances would Rabbi Shimon allow to carry from one chatzir to another chatzir? So both according to the sheet of Shmuel and of Rabbi Yochanan, they agree with one another. So there is no inhibition whatsoever to carry from one chatzir to another. Even if each of the chatziris themselves made their own Eruv, still there would be no problem carrying from one chatzir to another. That is both Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Rav, on the other hand, so he has a little bit of restriction within the Shita Rabbi Shimon. That is that according to Rav, if the Chatzeros made an Erev, not with each other, because if they made a Chatzer, an Erev with each other, obviously, you'd be allowed to carry from one Chatzer to the other, but they made independent Eruvin, then according to the Shita of Rav's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, you cannot carry from one Chatzer to another Chatzer. Now, why not? So the reason why, says Rav, is because we're worried about money debatim, because of the utensils of the home. Once each of the chatzeros have their own independent eruv, so then nobody would nobody would be prevented from taking a kli from their house into the chatzer. Once the kli is taken from the house to the chatzer, then there's a concern that you're going to be forgetful, and you're going to take that kli and move it from one chatzer to another chatzer. And to that, Rabbi Shimon would not allow. Meaning Rabbi Shimon's allowance to carry from chatzer to chatzer is only for kelim that start off the Shabbos in the chatzer. Rabbi Shimon said that explicitly back in the Mishnah. So Rav says that once each of the chatzeros make their own Eruv, and now once there is no inhibition for people to carry their kli from home into their chatzer, so then what Rabbi Shimon's concerned about is then that people would end up carrying from home to chatzer and subsequently from one chatzer to another. So the allowance for Rabbi Shimon to carry from chatzer to chatzer is only when the chatzeros are un-Eruved. But if they are Eruved, so then you cannot carry from one chatzer to another. This is Rav Shita. In yesterday's daf, the Gemara spent a good amount of time going over the Shita of Rav versus Rav Yochanan and Shmuel, who disagree with Rav, and seeing whether or not the Mishnayos and the Braisos and or the Braisos are supportive of one over the other. And after the Gemara's discussion yesterday, it came out inconclusive. We are going to pick up where we left off yesterday with the words Amamar. Amamar can be found at Sadi Alpha Midbeis, about 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara over here is just going to nitpick on one point of the Braisa that we saw yesterday. So this is a little bit of a digression, just a short digression. And then we're going to come back to this machlokus between Rav versus Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Amar Mar v'mavui aser. Now, in the Braisa that we quoted yesterday as one of the proofs towards the sheet of Rav, the sheet of Shmuel, so the Braisa was quoted saying that you're not allowed to carry in the mavui. And that seems to indicate that if we didn't make a shituf, so not only am I not allowed to carry from the chatzer to the mavui, but a simple reading of the braisa is that I'm not allowed to carry even in the mavui itself. Even though this particular mavui has a lechi, it has a korah, a lechi or a korah, nevertheless, without a shituf, you can't carry within the mavui itself. This is a simple reading of the braisa. The Gemara would want to know, is this a correct reading of the braisa? Lema misayela le Rabbi Zera Amarav. So the Gemara says, oh, so this seems to be a support for Rabbi Zera Amarav, Damar Rabbi Zera Amarav. So the halacha said over by Rabbi Zera in the name of Rav is that if I have a mavui with no shituf, I cannot carry even within the mavui itself. Now, let's think this halacha through for just a moment. You're not allowed to carry in the mavui itself, meaning what's the function of a shituf? The function of a shituf is to give people the ability to carry from a chatzur to a mavui. What we're learning right now, the shita Rabbi Zera really represents a chiddush. In that, without a shita, not only are you not allowed to carry from chatzer to mavui, but you're also not allowed to carry within the mavui itself. Now that is a little bit difficult because, and it is a bit of a chiddush because when you think about it, the mavui itself is a rishus yachid. It's got three walls. It does have a side open into a rishus harabim. Yeah, but that's been korrected either by a lechi or by a korah. So really, what it is a rishus yachid. And so the chiddush of Rabbi Zera is that yes, that's true, but there are a couple of considerations over here. One, it's practically open on the fourth side to Rishus HaRabim, and there are many people walking through over here. So Rabbi Zera says that the Shituf not only impacts one's ability to carry from Chatzer to Mavui, but even to carry within the Mavui itself. Good. So the Gemara says, now if our reading of the Brice is a good reading, so now we have our Brice supporting the Shituf of Rabbi Zera. The Gemara says, yeah, but the reading doesn't have to be correct. In fact, the Gemara gives an alternative way to read the Braisa. U le mavui aser. So the Gemara says, no, the way to read the Braisa is not u vim mavui aser, but rather le mavui aser, changing the prefix. And that means to say that you can't carry into the mavui. Ah, that's what you can't do without a shita. But carrying within the mavui itself would be fine. So the Gemara says, okay, that would be a fair reading of the Braisa, but now let's put that reading into the context of the Braisa, Hainu Reisha. So then what the Braisa seems to be doing is now repeating its point. Braisa already established that one cannot carry from home into chatzer without an Erev. So Mishnah Yisera Yitzrichle, the Gemara says, no, the additional point of the Braisa is necessary. Ma'od detema kiplik rabban alad de Rabbi Shimon. I might have thought that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Shimon, hanimi lehecha de irvu. That's only a case where an Erev was made, av lehecha de lo irvu. But if no Eruv was made, Modilei, I might have thought that they would agree to Rabbi Shimon. Consider, if no Eruv is made, so then nobody's going to be taking a kli from their home into the chatzer. And so therefore, maybe the under those circumstances, the Chachamim may in fact agree to Rabbi Shimon. So Kamash Malan, so the Chiddush is now that the Chachamim totally disagree with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. That the Chachamim's position that you can't carry from one Chatzer to a Chatzer is not only talking about Chatzeros that have a Reuven, but even with Chatzeros that do not have a Reuven, still the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon, and that you cannot carry from one Chatzer to another Chatzer. Okay, the Adkan, that takes us to a little bit of a digression. The Gemara wanted to use a moment, an opportunity of the Braisa, to see whether or not we could support Rabbi Zera, and the Gemara ends up concluding that we cannot support Rabbi Zera. We are now in the bottom of Tzadi Alpha Midvei, Zamalei Ravina LeRavashi, last line, and we're going to go back to our discussion regarding Rav versus Shmuel and Rav Yochanan within their understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Again, according to Rabbi Shimon, one is allowed to carry from Chatzar to Chatzar. The machlokus between Rav versus Shmuel and Rav Yochanan is Rabbi Shimon's allowance to carry from Chatzar to Chatzar, only talking about Chatzeros that have an Eruv, or only talking about Chatzeros that do not have an Eruv. And again, just quickly to reiterate, why would there be any restriction for a Chatzar that has an Eruv? Again, the issue is Mani Debatim, the Kalim of the home. Because the Kalim of the home, which if you have a Chatzar that does have an Eruv, so then people are allowed to take their Kli from home to Chatzar. And then, according to Rav, the concern is that then you would take that Kli from home into Chatzar and then carry it over into another Chatzar, which Rabbi Shimon says you're not allowed to do. So Rav says that as a result of that, Rabbi Shimon's allowance from Chatzar to Chatzar is only when the Chatzeros are un-Eruved. And un-Eruved over here, just to be as clear as possible, meaning that forget not making a joint Eruv, they didn't even make, they we're talking about a case where they didn't make independent Eruvin as well. Okay, that is Rav's understanding. On the other hand, Shmuel and Rav Yochanan both say that no, that Rabbi Shimon would allow to carry from Chatzar to Chatzar, even if the Chatzeros under discussion do in fact have an Eruv. Good. With that said, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi, does Rav Yochanan really subscribe to this idea? I'm going to read again. Just want to read the words on the bottom of the Amud. Amalei Ravina LeRavashi. So this is a discussion had between Ravina LeRavashi. These are late Amoraim trying to understand the Shita Rav Yochanan, who was first generation Amora. Mi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi, does Rav Yochanan really say this? Is now we are on the top of Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. The Amar Rav Yochanan Halacha Kastam Mishnah. Now we see time and again throughout Shas that Rav Yochanan says that the Halacha falls like a Stam Mishnah. Anytime you have an anonymous Mishnah, Rav Yochanan says that's a tell that tells us that the Halacha falls that position. If it's an Anan, we have a Mishnah. We saw this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. The Kosel Shemein Shtei Chatzeros. If I have a wall between two Chatzeros, Gavo Asar V'Rochav Arba, the wall's 10 Tvachim high, the width at the top of the wall is 4 Tvachim across. So Marv Mishnah Bein Marv Echad. So vis-a-vis the ability of these two Chatzeros that are abutting these walls, they cannot make a joint Eruv. There's no Pesach between these two. Good. Hayu Barosha Peros, Elo Lemikan Vochlim, Elo Lemikan Vochlin, Ovavashalo Yoridu Lamata. Now, what about the actual Rishus on the top of the wall? How do we view that? So the Mishnah taught us earlier, the way we view the Rishus on the top of the wall is that if there are fruit that exists already there before Shabbos, so then what each member of each of the Chatzeros can do is ascend on the wall, eat the fruit on the wall, but what they can't do is they can't take that fruit and bring it down into their respective Chatzeros. Now, let's consider, let's first of all assume that this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, okay, which admittedly is an assumption, but let's assume. So the Gemara says, now if that's true, the Gemara is not saying anything, the Gemara is assuming that we figured out the question, so let's figure out the question. So, in such a circumstance, now, where I have the Chatzer, and I have the two Chatzeres abutting this wall, and I have the area on top of the wall. That area on the top of the wall, in of itself, is its own Rishus. Okay, we'll call it a Rishus Yachid. It is the Rishus Yachid. 4 Tvachim high. I'm sorry, 10 Tvachim high, 4 Tvachim across. Good. So according to Rabbi Shimon, what would be the concern, what would be the problem of carrying from the wall into each of the Chatzeros? Should be fine, should be okay. Mishnah says you can't do that. So what the Gemara now is figuring, oh, I know why you can't do that. You can't do that because, assuming this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, is because each of these Chatzeros must have made their own independent Eruv. And the reason why I can't carry from the top of the wall into each of the Chatzeros is because even though this Mishnah does follow like the Shita Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon does not give an allowance to carry from Chatzer to Chatzer, or in this case, from top of the wall to the Chatzer, under these circumstances, because it must be that each of the chatzeros must have made their own independent eruv. That's what the Gemara is assuming right now. If all that's true, so then we have a Mishnah following the Shita of Rav. It's a Stam Mishnah following like the Shita of Rav. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is assuming right now. So the Gemara is going to read the Mishnah a little bit differently. My lamata lamata labatim. So the Gemara says, here's how we're going to read the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that you can't take the fruit down, the Mishnah doesn't mean that you can't take the fruit down into your chatzar, because you could do that. Because the Mishnah falls like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Going from one chatzar to another is fine, with no inhibition whatsoever. Even if the chatzar made an eruv, still there'd be no problem. Again, we're defending the Shita of Rav Yochanan. Fine. And what the Mishnah means, when the Mishnah says you can't bring it down, what the Mishnah means is that you can't bring it down into your house. That's what the Mishnah means. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a interesting reading of the Mishnah. V'atani Rabbi Chiyo v'vachalo yezeh ome bim komavocha v'zeh ome bim komavocha. Yeah, but I do have a brisa, a supplemental brisa to this Mishnah, and Rabbi Chiyo, his understanding is that I can't bring the fruit down into your makom. Presumably, what Rabbi Chiyo's brisa mean is that even as you're standing within the chatzer, I can't bring the food down into the chatzer. So, clearly, according to Rabbi Chiyo's brisa, the reading of the Mishnah is not that you can't bring it home, but you can't even bring it down into the chatzer. Okay, now this is difficult because, again, let's just recap. Why can't I bring it down to the chatzer? So if this Mishnah and this brisa is following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, so I should be able to bring it down to the chatzer. So it must be that we're talking about a chatzer that has an eruv, and that's why you can't do it. And again, this is a question against Rav Yochanan. So Amar Leh, so Rav Yochanan would say to you, V'chi Rebbe lo shana Rebbe chi aminayin lo. Yeah, but you know, that reading wasn't in the Mishnah. That reading was in the Brisa. And basically, what the Gemara says is, I'm challenging the Brisa. Meaning, I don't think the Brisa is authoritative. I think our reading of the Mishnah is acceptable. You don't have to accept the reading of the Brisa or the Brisa's understanding of the Mishnah. And so therefore, when the Mishnah says that don't bring it down, so our original reading of the, not our original reading, but our defended reading of the Mishnah still is intact. What the Mishnah means is that don't bring it down and bring it into your house. That reading of the Mishnah is intact. The Brisa that you cited, okay, unverified. And yes, generally speaking, we do find the Gemara being very reverential about Brisas and the authority of a Brisa. But interesting moment here in the Gemara, where basically we have a way of interpreting a Mishnah. The Brisa may not agree with this interpretation, but the Gemara basically said, okay, but we don't necessarily have to subscribe to the Brisa's reading. It's definitely an interesting moment in the Gemara. Itmar. The Gemara now is going to continue its discussion. As we are closing on this first sugya of the ninth perek, we are going to continue discussing this idea that according to Rabbi Shimon, so one is allowed to carry from one chatzah to another. And the subsequent understanding of Rav, which is that's only when the chatzeros do not have an eruv. But if the chatzeros have an eruv, so then you can't carry from one to the other for the reasons that we already described. So Itmar over here now, continuing our discussion, Shei Chatzeros V'chor V'achas B'neim. I have two Chatzeros, and there's a Chorva in between the two Chatzeros. And so Achas Yirva V'achas Lo Yirva. Now, abutting this Chorva, this dilapidated home, so one Chatzer that made an Erev, one Chatzer that did not make an Erev. So I'm Rav Huna. Now Rav Huna says the following. Now, mindful of the fact that Rav Huna is a student of Rav. So we're going to assume that Rav Huna is subscribing to Shita's Rav. So, nosa nosa lezush lo irva, aval lishi irva lo. So, in terms of surrendering this property of the Chorva, who are we going to give it to? So we're going to give it to the, one that did not make a Erev and not to the one that did make an Erev. Now, this is perfect. And Dilma, and he spells it out. Dilma asa lafuke mani debatim lechorva. Because what we're afraid of is that if we relinquish the rights of this chorva to the chatzar that did make an eruv, so we know what's going to happen. Again, this is Rav Huna, that's a student of Rav. So people are going to take their kalim from their home into their chatzar, which are allowed to do because they made an eruv, and then subsequently carry it from one chatzar to another chatzar, but you're not allowed to do that because originally on Shabbos, this kali started in the home. So therefore, it just makes a lot more sense to relinquish control of this chorva to the chatzar that didn't make an eruv. So the Gemara says, good. That's all the sheet of Ravuna, and based on Rav's halacha, makes perfect sense. However, Chir Barav Amar Af L'Shirva. So Chir Barav says, no, we can't do that. We can't just simply cede the dilapidated home, the chorva, to one of the chatzeros. But rather, we're going to have to say that both of them still maintain control. And therefore, what? Well, let's read the next words of the Gemara. Af L'Shirva V'Shteim Asuros. And since both of them are going to be maintaining control, so therefore both are going to be inhibited from being able to carry from their chatzer into the chorva. Now v'intamar shnei mutaros. Now he says, now I know what you're going to propose, and that is, let's counter propose. Let's say that both are going to have the right to carry from the chatzer into the chorva. To which Rabbi Chia says, nah. So the Gemara says, why is it that in general we do not say that the chatzar shelo irva should be from the chatzar shirva should be able to carry into the chatzar shelo irva? Hasim kevin de mintrei mana debatim bechatzar asalafuke. So the Gemara says, because consider that generally speaking, people are going to take their kalim from their home into their chatzar, and no one's going to be bothered by that. People are comfortable with the security within the chatzar. And so therefore, carrying from the home into the chatzar, that's a regular occurrence. And therefore, Rav is concerned that what you're going to end up doing subsequently is then take that said kli from one chatzar into another chatzar. But the Gemara says, but I don't know if that translates so well in our case over here. Hacha b'chorva kevin to lamintere, mani de chatzar b'chorva lo asu le'afuke. But over here, in the chorva, it's not such a protected area. It's not guarded. And so therefore, the Gemara is just pushing back, and the Gemara is basically saying, I don't really think people are going to generally take their kli that they took from their home into their chatzer, and then subsequently move that kli from the chatzer into the chorva, which is really an unprotected area. So the Gemara is basically arguing and saying that maybe, even if I subscribe to Rav, but in this case over here, I can make a distinction. Now, Ikadamri, now in another version of basically the same discussion, the Gemara is going to go over the same point. Just over here, we're not gonna use the challenge at the end as a challenge, but rather we're gonna start off with the assumption. Let's see it inside. You'll see what I mean better. Igadamri, now in the second version, Chia Barav Amar Af L'Shirva V'Shtei Mutaros. Here in the second version, so Rabbi Chia says that when I have the scenario of a chatzer and a chatzer that have a chorva in the middle of these two chatzeros, so then we're not going to, and one chatzer made an eruv and the other chatzer didn't make an eruv. So we're going to say that both of these chatzeros still have rights to the chorva in the middle, and both of them are going to be mutter. You can carry from the chatzer into the chorva. Now the imtar m'shtei masuros. Now here in the second version, now we're going to entertain that maybe they both should be aser. L'fishenos nechatzer shlo irvo lechatzer shirvo. So because remember that according to the sheet of Rav, the chatzer that made an eruv cannot carry into the chatzer that did not make an eruv because of the gzera of mani debatim. So the Gemara says, "Hasam kevin dem interei mani debatim bechaselo shara behu rabbanan daselafuke avav bechorva lo minterei." But the Gemara over here says, "Look, we're going to say that distinction that we made just moments earlier, which is that look, Rav is worried about when one chaser is abutting another chaser because people are comfortable in their chaser. There's security within the chaser. People are going to take the kalim from their home, bring it into the chaser, and then what they're going to do is forgetfully." Then transfer from one chatzar into another chatzar, which you're not allowed to do. But in the case of the chorva, so that chorva is not a protected area. Nobody's going to be transferring a kli from a home into the chatzar and then subsequently from the chatzar into the chorva. It's just simply an unprotected area. People are not going to do it. Therefore, there's no reason to make a gzera in such a circumstance. Okay, Adkan takes us to the end of that sugya, a really long sugya, in which now we have concluded the first Mishnah. And the sugya of the first Mishnah, that takes us all the way back to the Peites. So, the Dapin, Peites, Tzadi Aleph, and half of Tzadi Beis, dedicated to the first Mishnah, about the allowance to carry from Gog to Gog, from Gog to Karpa, from Gog to Chatzer, from Chatzer to Chatzer, and the various respective positions. The Shitas of Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon, and subsequently the Machlokas between Rav versus Shmuel and Rav Yochanan within the Shita Rabbi Shimon, Okay, and Adkan. That is the end of a very particularly long sugya. We now are continuing on the Mishnah and study Beis Amud Aleph, a Mishnah that we have cited already earlier in this Masechta. Gag gadol samach lekatan. So let's say I have a big roof next to a small roof. If you have a picture over here, extraordinarily helpful. Looks like the letter T. Not exactly, but okay. Let's put it this way. If you have a picture, it's just better. And over here now, the configuration that we're describing over here is that the big roof is now going and abutting a smaller roof. So from the perspective of the big roof, so you're surrounded by walls. Now, whether they're physical walls or whether they are just halachic walls, so you recall, we quoted this Mishnah just a couple days ago, and we discussed that point a couple days ago. For our purposes right now, let's just say that they're halachic walls, meaning the walls of the side of the house continue to ascend upward. That's the principle of good asik. So when you're in the big gag, so you're actually surrounded by how many halachic walls? You're surrounded by halachic walls on all four sides, right? Even on the side facing the smaller roof, but still you have those two halachic walls on the two corners of that fourth side. On the other hand, if you're standing in the small roof, so how many halachic walls are you surrounded by? Three halachic walls on the three sides. You're opened up in your entirety to the fourth wall. Now, admittedly, there is a discussion that we had earlier in the Gemara about, let's say that there are interior walls separating the area below the small roof from the area of the large roof, and maybe that interior wall also goes upwards based on the principle of good asik. We did have that discussion earlier, but okay, let's hold off on that for just a moment. So, gadol samach lekatan, hagadol mutar v'akatan aser. You can carry within the large gag, but you cannot carry within the small gag. We're going to explain why when we get to the Gemara. Chatzir gadol shenifras lekatana. And not only are we talking about gagos, but we're talking about a chatzir as well. Straightforward scenario where I have a large chatzir opened up to a small chatzir. Now, if you remember the beginning of this Masechta, so we spent a lot of time discussing this configuration of the two chatziros one to another. Basically, it looks exactly like the gagos, but instead of being on the rooftops, so it happens to be on ground level. But it's the same idea. I have a large chatzir, I have a small chatzir, and so now gedola mutaris katana asura. Mimnei shehi kipizcha shegedola. So the gedola would be mutaris, the katana would be asura, and as far as the way we're going to view the katana, it's going to be viewed as an entrance to the gedola. So, those last lines of the Mishnah we're going to explain a lot better when we get to the Gemara. The Gemara's first question is a very straightforward question. Lama lulimis ne tarte. So, why would the Mishnah have to basically make the same point two times over? The Mishnah gives us a configuration of the gagos, large gag, small gag, and then the Mishnah gave us basically the same thing regarding chatzeros, large chatzer, small chatzer. Why do that? So the Gemara's response is, L'rav ketani gag dumya de chatzer. So first we'll start with the sheet of Rav. And that is that halachically, we're going to treat the gag just like the chatzer. Ma chatzer min kore mechitzasa, av gag nami min kore mechitzasa. That the only way that the halachic walls of the gag are going to work is that if I could start seeing the frame of the walls. Remember, Rav said that if the walls themselves are lo minkara, this takes us back to the beginning of our perek. Back on Pei Tes, the Gemara made this point very clear. Rav is of the position that if I do not see the side of the walls at all from the vantage point of the rooftop, meaning while standing on the rooftop, the roof goes over the sides of the walls, and I can't make out the walls at all. I have no perception of the walls, so then halakhically the walls do not go up. And Rav says, our Mishnah actually bears out this point, because our Mishnah puts side by side the halachas of gagos and the halachas of chatzeros. Not by chatzer, it's indisputable that in the case of the chatzer, you have physical walls around you. So in the case of the gagos, the only way it's going to work is only if you have at least the visibility of those walls that surround you, right? At least you can make out the walls that surround you, and then we're going to say good asik. Otherwise, we do not say good asik. So that is why our Mishnah puts these two halachas side by side. Now, ulishmo gagdomi the chatzer. Now, as far as Shmuel is concerned, now remember, Shmuel's position is that we're going to say good asik, even if the walls are not recognizable. That was Shmuel's position that we saw in the beginning of the perek. So then, according to Shmuel, why are these two halachas put side by side? And the reason why is because even though Shmuel is of the position that we do say good asik, even in a situation where the walls are not recognizable. But meanwhile, if there's traffic that goes over the walls, the traffic that goes over the walls negates the principle of good asik, right? That we know by Chatzir, and we're going to also say that by Gag as well. Yosef, Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Barchanim, Yosef, Abai Gabayu. The Gemara now has the following discussion that's going to take us for the remainder of the daf, a collection of Amoraim that are sitting together with Abaye. The Yosef Ekamri. Now, every time we have this configuration of Amoraim, where you have a collection sitting by an Amora, so you know that the focus is going to be, the spotlight's going to be on that one particular Amora. In this case, it's Abaye. The Yosef Ekamri. Now, the collection of Amoraim said the following. Shmami nami masnisim. What do you see from the Mishnah? Diure gedola bikitana. V'ein diure kitana b'gedola. So, when you have this configuration of large chatzer, small chatzer. So, the way to view it halachically is that the small chatzer is just really an extension of the large chatzer. The small chatzer is really an annexation of the large chatzer. But the large chatzer is not an annexation of the small chatzer. Now, sounds great. What does that mean? So, the Gemara now is going to give four different examples of what that means. So, Ketzad, that's exactly the Gemara's question. So, let's put that in practical terms, in terms of what does it mean that the small chatzer is an annex of the large chatzer, but not the reverse. So, well, we're going to start off with an example of Kalai HaKerem. You have a vineyard. You have a vineyard, you cannot plant grains in that vineyard. You cannot plant greens in that vineyard as well. Okay, that's the Isser in the Torah of Kalai HaKerem. There is a difference whether or not you have vines or whether you have a vineyard. But for our purposes right now, let's assume that you have a vineyard. We're going to be discussing this today. We're going to be discussing this again in tomorrow's daf as well. So this Isser of the Torah of Kalai HaKerem. So Ketzad, Gefanim B'gedolam Asur L'Zeros HaKetana. Vim Zera Zraim Asurin. So here we say the following. Let's say I have two fields, one next to another, with a configuration like we just described. Right, a large chatzer, small chatzer, meaning that you have walls surrounding our two fields. The one field is large and the other field is small, right, with the proper walling around. So now, if let's say I have the vineyard planted in the large field, so then what I cannot do is I cannot plant grains or greens in the small field. And if I do, that zera becomes usher, that zera becomes prohibited. Because since we view the small field as just simply an annex of the large field, so where did I plant the grains and greens? In a vineyard. Now, let's go in the other direction. V'im zera zeruin asurin. Gefanim mutar. Now, the gefan itself is going to be mutar. Gefanim b'ketana. Now, if let's say the vineyard was in the small chatzer, so then mutar l'zeros gedola. So then what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to plant seeds in the large field. Because we do not say that the vineyard is an annex of the small vineyard is an annex of the large field, and so therefore it would be mutter, it would be permissible to plant the grains and greens in the large chatzer. Now, admittedly, it's a nice idea, but just it's difficult to really fully wrap our heads around this idea that I'm not allowed to in the second case that I would be allowed to plant the grains and the greens in the large field. Basically, isn't the vineyard now in the field with the grains and with the grains and the greens? Meaning that if we're viewing the small chatzer as an annex of the large chatzer, so just like in the first case that we went over, where the vineyard's in the large and the grains and the greens are in the small, so basically we're saying that I'm planting the grains and the greens in the large. So over here, effectively, can we just say the same thing in the reverse? That if the vineyard's in the small, so and I'm planting in the large, so basically I'm planting the grains and the greens together with the vineyard. Like, what exactly is the difference between them? So, not an easy question to answer. Rashi. Rashi over here says, the top Rashi on the Amud, L'chatchila delagabe gedola, pischa v'cho pesach kemechitzahu, so basically Rashi says that the way that we're going to look at the small one as if it's an entrance slash doorway slash Pesach. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara Baba Basra. Hayageder many times zed samach legeder mikan vezed samach legeder mikan. Mikan. And we know, based on the Gemara Baba Basra, that as long as I have a wall separating the two, one from the other, so then it would be mutter, then it would be permissible to plant one on one side, a vineyard on one side, and the grains or the greens on the other side. Ukishi gadlu azraim afagav de diure gadola bikatana ein osrin esagafanem. Now, when the seeds do actually grow, so Rashi over here is bothered by the fact that, okay, the diure gadola is bikatana ein osrin esagafanem. We're still not going to prohibit the vineyard. Why? The Amar b'Menachos Perek Beis, because Rashi over here quotes the Gemara Menachos. Maisa be'echad. Shazaras kerem shel chaver uva maisa lefnei chachamim va'asros azrayim v'yitiru esagafanim va'amar maitama kanfus v'luf asra Torah shar zrayim midrabanan asire. So Rashi says, first of all, we're talking not about Issa d'Oraisa, we're talking about an Issa d'Rabanan. De'lo avad isur lo kanta rabanan. Hachanami hol kishazara esagadola beheter zara afilu shteim shelo leka lemiknese v'kol shekinim kantana shalachem mukfanim shelo kidnu. So Rashi over here makes the following argument, in that being that we're not talking about Issa d'Oraisa, we're only talking about Issa d'Rabanan, and when I planted the grains in the large, I didn't violate Nisr with the planting, so as a result of that, so then it doesn't become usr subsequently, even after it grows. And even though the halacha dictates that the vineyard in the small is basically an annex of the large, but nevertheless, since I planted it beheter, so therefore it doesn't become usr. That's Rashi's understanding over here. Admittedly, it's not a simple understanding, but you have to say something in terms of, why don't we just simply say that the vineyard is now in the gedola? It becomes part and parcel of the gedola, and so therefore it is a violation of Kalai Kerem. See Tosus over here for a different approach in terms of how to understand the distinction made between the vineyard being in the large and the grains being in the small, versus the vineyard being in the small and the grains being in the large. Tosus has a different approach in terms of how to understand it. Okay, that's example number one. Example number two. Example number two in the Gemara, we're back in the Gemara. Isha begedola v'gebe katana. So let's say we have the following scenario, and that is that a woman's receiving a divorce. So as we know, in order for the divorce to work, so there has to be a kinyan haget. You put it in her hand, or you put it in her chatzer. Let's say she has two chatzeros. She has a large and a small, and the way Rashi understands it, she owns both, the large and the small. There is a shita in the Gemara in Gittin that if the chatzer works, she has to be standing in the chatzer. She's standing right now currently in the large. You threw the get into the small chatzer. So, another application of this principle. We're viewing the small as an annexation of the large. It's an annex of the large. And so, therefore, it's viewed as if the get is going to be a good get, because you're throwing to the get where she is. Isha b'gedola v'get b'ketana mizgareshes. The gerushin is going to be a good gerushin. Isha b'ketana v'get b'gedola. But if I were to reverse that, and I have the woman standing in the ketana and the get in the gedola, so then ina mizgareshes. Now you're not throwing the get where she currently is, because she currently is in the katana, and the get was thrown into the gedola, doesn't work. And again, interesting just to think more about this. I know this is tough to really sort out, but what we're not going to say is that she in the annex is going to be put into the gedola, meaning the object of the get is going to be able to be viewed as if it when thrown into the katana, it's going to be thrust into the gedola. But we're not going to say that regarding her. When she's in the katana, she is not going to be thrust into the gedola. Another basic idea. I'll make this point at the end of all four examples. Sibra b'gedola v'shlich, sibra b'katana. Let's do this one more time in the following scenario. I have the actual minion let's do that again. Sibor begedola v'shlich tzibor b'ketana. I have the tzibor in the gedola. The minion is in the big room, and the shlich tzibor is in the small room. So yotzin yedei chovasan. So good. So that works. However, tzibor b'ketana v'shlich tzibor b'gedola ein yotzin yedei chovasan. But if I have the tzibor in the small and the shlich tzibor is in the large, so that doesn't work. And so interesting. First of all, what's interesting over here is the shliach tzibor, obviously critical and important, but not as important as the minyan himself. meaning when I compare, when I put the two side by side, so what we're clearly saying over here is that the tzibor is the ikker, and the shliach tzibor is a obviously an important but accessory to the tzibor. And so therefore, when I have the tzibor standing in the large and the shliach tzibor in the katana, so good. So we view the katana as an annexation of the large, and now we're basically able to say that the shliach tzibor is together with the tzibor. On the other hand, when the shliach tzibor is in the large and the tzibor is in the small, so what the annexation is unable to do is take the tzibor and move it into the large. And what we're not going to say is that the shliach tzibor, which is in the large, is going to be drawn after the katana. That's a third application. The Gemara gives us another application of this principle. And that is, Tisha B'Gedola, the Yachid B'Katana Mitzarfin. If I have nine people in the Gedola and one person in the Katana, so that works. Tisha B'Katana V'Yachid B'Gedola Mitzarfin. But to make a minion, and I have now one person in the Gedola, nine in the Katana, that does not work. It's not going to be tzir if we don't have a minion. Because once again, we're able to view the Katana as an extension, annexation of the large. And that means to say that what it could do is it could draw one person. And when we say one person, presumably we also mean two people, three people, four people, as long as it is a minority. But what that annex cannot do is the annex cannot go in the other direction. Meaning, let's say I have nine people in that annex and one person in the gedola, it doesn't flow and have the people, or in this case, the one person from the gedola, go into the katana. And once again, the annex cannot move the nine people in the direction of the gedola. Basically, now hopefully with all these examples, so we see the basic idea, and that is that the katana only is one directional. It only is pulled in the direction of the gedola, but not the opposite. We don't pull from the gedola into the katana. And one more example, and I guess this would be example number five. I said four. Okay, I see what I did. I took the minyanim and I put that into one case. But anyway, here's a fifth example. So Bigdola also the cross kriyashma bikitana. The soa bikitana mutter likros kriyashma bigdola. So let's say first of all we have a halacha that we learned in the Gemara in Brachos, and that is that you're not allowed to say kriyashma in the presence of tsoa. If you and the tsoa are in the same room together, so you cannot say kriyashma. So if I have the tsoa in the gedola, in the large, so then you cannot say kriyashma in the katana, because it's viewed as if you and the tsoa now are in the same room together. However, tsoa b'katana, but if the excrement is in the small, so then muta likros kriyashma b'gedola, so then you can go ahead and say kriyashma in the gedola. It's not viewed as you and the tsoa being in the same room together. Okay, so another example of this idea of the katana being annexation of the gedola, but not in the other direction. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Let us quickly review Abaye's point, which we're going to start tomorrow. That'll be our starting point for tomorrow. So let's quickly recap our daf today. Number one, we started off with a comment regarding a mavui. A mavui with no shitif. Are you allowed to carry within the mavui itself? So Reb Zera said no. And the Gemara wanted to know, maybe the Brisa supports that Shita Rabbi Zera, and the Gemara says not necessarily, because there's another way we could have read the Brisa, and so therefore the Brisa is not necessarily supporting that of what Rabbi Zera taught us. Then, vis-a-vis the halacha of Rabbi Shimon, that one is allowed to carry from one chatzar to another chatzar, so we continued our discussion in terms of the machlokas between Rav versus Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says that halacha Rabbi Shimon, that you are allowed to carry from one chaser into another chaser, that is only when neither of the chaser has made an eruv. But if you have a chaser that made an eruv, so then they can't carry. Why? Gzera mane debatim. Because of the kelim that start in the house, that were brought out to the chaser via eruv, and now the concern is then that subsequently is going to be carried from one chaser into another chaser. This is Rav and the gzera, as understood by Rav, and both Shmuel and Rav Yochanan disagree, and they say that there is no such gzera. Okay, just in general, by the way, a larger topic of discussion in terms of whether or not there are debates regarding whether there is or there isn't a gzera. I know that sounds strange, but clearly throughout Shas, right? There is there are debates that occur between Tanaim and Amoraim as to whether or not there is or is not a gzera. That is a difficult to wrap our heads around in terms of how can there be a machlokas as to whether there is or there isn't a gzera. But a simple explanation and the classic explanation is that perhaps an attempt was made to make a gzera, and then subsequently the question of whether or not it was accepted or not accepted. That would be a simple way to explain it, but not necessarily the only way to explain it. But anyway, so we have that machlokas between Rav versus Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. The Gemara noted that Rav Yochanan, who says that there's no gzera, doesn't he say that halacha is like a stam mishnah? And don't we have a mishnah earlier in this mesechta that would seem to indicate that there is such a gzera? And the Gemara's response is not necessarily, because there is another way to read that mishnah. When the mishnah said that I can't take the fruit from the top of the wall and bring it down, what the mishnah meant was not bring it down into the chatzar, because that's fine. The mishnah meant you're not allowed to bring it down and bring it to your house. That's what the mishnah means. And the Gemara debated whether or not this is a good reading of the mishnah. And then we discussed on the Amud Aleph the scenario of you have two chatzeros and each one of them now is abutting a single churva in the middle, a dilapidated home in the middle, and whether or not one is allowed to carry from the chatzar into the churva, and whether or not the students of Rav, actually it was one student of Rav and a son of Rav Huna and Rebbe Chia bar Rav. So they debated whether or not their father, their Rebbe slash father, would allow carrying from a chatzar into the churva, a chatzar that made an Erev, would they be allowed to carry into the churva? Does this fall under the gzera? Perhaps this case is different. That was the deliberation in that case. Finally, our last point today was the Mishnah and the subsequent Gemara's discussion, in which I have a large gog, small gog, that are abutting one another, and I have a large chatzar, small chatzar, abutting one another. So under those circumstances, I can carry within the large gog, within the large chatzar, but I cannot carry within the small gog and within the small chatzar. From the vantage point of the small gog and small chatzar, you're only surrounded by three walls. Your fourth is nifratz b'melua, totally opened up into the large chatzar, so a large gog, so therefore you can't carry within the small, but from the vantage point of the large, it would be perfectly fine and legitimate to carry in the large because you are surrounded by four walls. That fourth wall being the two side posts that go beyond the small chatzar and the small gog. The Gemara's discussion between the Amoraim and Abaye is as follows. We didn't even get to Abaye's point yet. That's coming up in the beginning of tomorrow's shir. And that is that these Amoraim say, what do we see regarding large chatzar, small chatzar? That the way we view it is that the small chatzar is really an annex, an entranceway, a foyer to the large chatzar. So if I have the ikker in the large chatzar and I have a secondary in the small chatzar, it's able to basically be pulled in to the large chatzar. Many different permutations of this idea. One, the case of the vineyard, where the vineyard is going to be, and the grains and the greens are being planted in the small, so the grains and the greens are being pulled into the vineyard, and so therefore it's ke'ilo, you're planting those grains and the greens in the vineyard itself. If I flip that around, so then it would not be a problem. I went through the Rashi in terms of why it wouldn't be a problem. A woman receiving a get, if the woman's standing in the large chatzar and the get's thrown into the small chatzar, so then it's pulled into the direction of the large chatzar, and so therefore the woman has successfully received her get. The opposite would not work out. If I have the minyan in the large chatzar, the shliach tzibur in the small chatzar, the shliach tzibur is pulled into the minyan and therefore it works. Opposite, however, would not work. I have nine people in the large chatzar. I have one person in the small chatzar. So that one person can be pulled into the direction of the large chatzar. Opposite would not work. I have I have excrement in the large. And I have a person in the katana. So I know, by the way, this one was a strange one. I didn't point out when we learned it how odd it is that we're basically pulling the person in the direction of tsoa. Meaning the tsoa itself is creating a makom tsoa. Right, if it's an easier way to see it that way, and so therefore, when the person now is saying Kriya Shema in the small, it's as if he's saying now Kriya Shema in a makum tsoa. However, the opposite would not be true. If I had the person in the gadol in the tsoa in the katan, so then the person would not be prohibited from saying Kriya Shema under those circumstances. Okay, and tomorrow we start off with Abaye's comment.